Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hallelujah. Don't worry, that alert was to say that we are live on Facebook. So check it out. If you are ever not able to make it to service, you can go to our Facebook page and watch us live there. I am actually looking forward to integrating that into the new website that we are going to be launching pretty soon. But yeah, we are going to continue to move forward in the Lord. Amen. Is anybody excited that you're here today? Come on, somebody better be excited. We are in the house of God. The Bible says where two or more gathered, he is in the midst. Amen. So I don't care if you're at your house, at your home, or you're listening to this today. We thank you that you are with us and that we are excited about who Jesus is in our lives. Amen. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go to a conference. I think it was a Unite conference 2017. It was called Young Bloods, and they were just encouraging the youth in Kent to just be excited about Jesus. They preached a message on faith yesterday, and just going to, sometimes when you go to different churches, you are encouraged in your faith. Amen. And I was encouraged when I went last night, so I just thank God for that. Amen. Today we are going to start something new. I don't know if it's going to be a series, but as I was even in that service, God began to speak to me on what to preach. And today we're going to talk about dig deeper. Is that all right? Somebody look at your neighbor and say, dig deeper. Dig deeper. All right. Let us pray and we're going to get started. I will not be before you too long. Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you to God for the opportunity to share your word, oh God. I thank you to God for you always speaking to us. Dear God, I thank you for the ability to hear your voice. And I pray to God that we all would get to a place where we can be still and know that you are God in our life, oh God. I thank you to God for just being with us at this time. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Amen. All right, so like I said, we're going to talk about dig deeper. And as God put this on my spirit, sometimes we get to a place where we're so close to what God has for us, but then we stop. You know, have you ever seen somebody that was running a race and, oh man, they're so close, but they give up and then somebody passes them up. You know, they didn't finish what they were called and put to do here to do. So what begins to happen is they begin to miss out on what God has for them. Amen. We were at the funeral yesterday of my grandpa, and I didn't get to see him a lot in my life, but the great thing is when we were there, they were saying he was always smiling. He was telling people about God. I remember him as somebody that always cooked food. Every time we went to his house, he would cook us something, right? And when you think about one of the things that my uncle Emmanuel, who's also a pastor, he said, finish the race. It's important to finish the race. It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. Right? For example, me and my dad always have this debate with football players. Some rookies come in the league and they're killing it, which means they're doing a really good job. Right? They're coming in the game and they're doing great stuff. And I'm like, man, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And my dad said, well, we'll see what happens next year, the year after that. Right? Because a lot of people come into the league and they do great things, but teams begin to game plan against them, right? Which means they try to say, okay, if he did that good last year, we just are going to stop him. If we can stop that person, then we will have a shot at winning the game, right? What begins to happen is the enemy does the same thing to you. When you first get saved, he's not really like, oh, we don't got to do too much. He don't know too much. But when he sees you doing things, he's like, hold up, we got to set some things up to stop this person, right? We don't want this person to continue to do what he's doing. He's leading too many people to Jesus, right? And guess what? As trials and tribulations come, some of those people that started out good got tired. They get fatigued, right? And if you've ever been fatigued, just raise your hand real quick. And I'm raising my hand, right? You get tired sometimes. But see, it's not just about getting tired. It's about learning how to continue even when you're tired, right? It's very important. Michael Jordan, in my opinion, one of the greatest basketball players I've ever witnessed. Some of his greatest games were when he was fatigued. He had a game, we call it the flu game. He was sick with the flu. I think he had 38 points in that game, but they had to carry him to his bench every time out because he was so drained. But he didn't give up because his team needed him. And he said, even though I'm down, I'm not feeling great, even though I'm tired and I would rather, you know, like most of us, when we got the flu, we want to get some DayQuil or some NyQuil and just go to sleep, right? He was saying, look, I'm going to play in this game. And it was one of his best games, right? So some people have this thing inside of them that says, I'm not going to quit. Some people have, I know that it looks like this, but I have to press even harder. I know I got to level A, but now it's time to turn up and go to level B, right? It's important for some of us to get to that place where when level A comes and we feel like we hit the wall, we don't stop. And I'm going to just say this. Yesterday I was encouraged just by seeing the youth praising God, worshiping God. And I told Precious, man, I want to see the people in my neighborhoods, in the church neighborhoods, kind of get to this place where worship becomes part of who they are, right? So I was like, man, okay, cool. Well, I'm fueled. Let's get it. Sometimes you need to get fuel to be able to dig deeper, right? And we're going to dig into some scriptures right now. But what I am saying is this. You have to be ready to go beyond where you're going right now. Because if you're saying, look, I'm here and this is good, this is dandy, I love life right here, guess what? There's going to be things that come that want to persuade you to stop. But what are you going to do when those things come? Amen? Now, I'm going to go to a different scripture. It's kind of interesting because in this scripture is 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. In this scripture, it actually says the death of Elisha. Now, Elisha was one of the greatest prophets in the word of God. Some people say he was greater than Elijah, and I wouldn't disagree with it because he had a double portion of Elisha's anointing, right? Which means he had two times the amount of Elijah, right? But it starts off, when you look at it, the death of Elisha. Now, let's read this and see what happens. Elisha had become sick with illness, of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put it on it. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hand. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrow." So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." Somebody say, "Strike the ground." So he struck it three times and stopped. Somebody said, "And stopped." Now this is very interesting because the amount of times that he struck the ground was predetermined in his head. It's kind of interesting because Elisha never told him how many times to strike the ground, right? And you know, some of us would be like, "Oh, one, two, three. Okay, yeah, okay. Is that what you want me to do, Elisha? I don't really know what you're telling me to do, but I'm going to do it," right? So he was obedient, but it says, "And stopped." And then check out what verse 19 says. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. Now, once again, this king did not know what was going on. But I believe there was something in him that made him only want to do it three times. And stop. Maybe it was fear. Because you got to remember how he came to Elisha. First of all, Elisha's on his deathbed, right? He's like, yo, Israel, the horses and chariots, we got to go to war. It's time to go to war. What should we do? Right? He's panicking. Then he gets the word, shoot the arrow, and God's deliverance will save you from Syria, right? But then God says, strike the ground through Elisha, and he only did it a few times. And Elisha told him it would have been better if he did it five or six times, but you will only strike them three times. Then it says, then Elisha died, and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring. So it was as they were burying the man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. All right. Now, that part is kind of interesting, too. But we see that this king, instead of continuing to go on, he only did it three times. Now, I don't know what that can be symbolic of in our own lives. Sometimes God tells us to go do some things. And maybe it's like this, Mike. Maybe it was God told you to go witness to somebody and you tried it three times and it didn't work. Right? You told somebody about Jesus three times and it didn't work. Now, it was funny. Yesterday, one of the youth pastors was like, yeah, I went to church one time. He said this was a story somebody had. I went to church one time and I didn't see any results. And he was like, oh, yeah, like you go to the gym one time and you didn't really see any results. Right? Because it's all about continuance. It's all about continuing. Right? It's important that we learn to continue in the things of God, because in continuing and doing what God has called us to do, that's when things begin to happen. Right? Now, I know we've been in ministry here for 8 years, but there's power when you continue to do things. Now, you might not see things happen in the natural, but guess what? Things are starting to happen in the spiritual. Lies are starting to, people are starting to be like, man, I'm tired of the way I'm living. Right? There's nothing in the world for them. And as they continue to try to struggle along, as we continue to be faithful, even to the end, somebody say to the end, it's going to begin to draw people. Last week, I talked about the impact of when we went down to the clubs and we ministered outside the clubs, how one person saw us there month after month after month. And he said, man, you're not here like we're down here. You're here to make a difference. I can see that. And he was like, I respect that, because all the other people that said they were Christians would only be here for a while, but then they would join in the festivities. Right. But there's something that when you continue to do what God has called you to do, there's something that goes along with that, and that's the impact. Amen? Somebody say, dig deeper. We talked about Michael Jordan earlier. One thing about Michael Jordan is he didn't just start off good in the NBA. He finished well, right? Now, I'll say this. Minus the Washington Wizard days, right, when Michael Jordan played for the Wizards, even at that age, he was doing good for his age, but it wasn't like, we don't really have too many highlights of Michael Jordan when he was with the Wizards, right? But he ended with a championship. That's the highest you can go, right? Because he continued to dig deeper. Now, one thing that, as just growing up watching Michael Jordan, he started all dunking on people, right? He would love to dunk, but as time got old. As he got old and time kept going, he changed his game. He started getting that fadeaway, the patented Jordan fadeaway. He would do that. And he was switching his game up. Why? Because he was like, okay, there's more that I have within me. How many of us as believers have ever thought there's more that God has for us? Sometimes we get caught in the same patterns, right? Our prayer life is like this. All right, cool. It's trying to read the word. Okay, it's like this. I might share the word, share something with somebody, but God is wanting us to dig deeper. And the way that we dig deeper is by building stronger relationships with God. Amen? Our prayer life is crucial to this. Because guess what? If you want to dig deeper in God, you have to know what God is telling you. Right? And it's important to read the word. I'm going to tell you this. You will not understand what God speaks to you. You will not be able to differentiate or know the difference between what God is speaking, what you're speaking, and what the devil is speaking unless you know God's word. Right? I heard somebody this week that was, he was supposed to be a minister, but he was saying things like, the church needs to get over the Bible. Irrelevant. It's so irrelevant, right? Because it was written 2,000 years ago. But if I read my Bible, right? If I open my Bible up, it says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the joints from the marrow, right? That's something that says that the word of God is living. Books are dead, but the word of God lives. That's why we continue to, like Sister Jane, you ever read the Bible one time and didn't understand it? Then you came back and you were like, oh, that's what it means. Why? Because the Spirit of God is revealing that to you. Amen. He's showing us exactly what we need to see and exactly what we need to be attentive to as we continue to stay in his word. This is very important because this is how we dig deeper. This is why we read the same. We're going to read the same chapters over and over. And I was just telling Precious today, I was like, wow. Many people knew that the Israelites had abominations, which were stuff they did not do. But how many of you know that the Egyptians had abominations? There was two abominations that I can talk about right now. One of them was they were not to eat with Hebrews or Israelites. It was an abomination to them. So when Joseph was the leader in Egypt, he couldn't sit with all the people from the Egyptians. And his brothers couldn't sit with him. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. And when the people came in, guess what? It said that when his brothers came in with flock and livestock, it was an abomination to the Egyptians to be around people that have flock and livestock. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like, they had rules, you know, and it's every religious group has rules. But it just showed me like, man, so they don't think that's a problem, right? But when people say the abominations that are in the word of God are you can't do that. Guess what? Everybody has those type of things, right? We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. Check it out. We're going to go to this scripture. We're going to read this and then we're going to be done. So I want you guys to get from that other one. Continue to keep on going. Don't stop after three. Keep on going, right? If God tells you to strike, and when we say strike, I'm not telling you to kill anybody, okay? But strike the purpose that God has put in your life. Go get it. Don't wait for somebody else. There's purposes and plans that God has specifically put in your heart for you to go accomplish, but you have to be obedient to God and walk in what God wants you to do. Amen. And not give up. Say, I'm not going to give up. One thing I always tell my kids, we were practicing with some other kids, and I always try to make them work a little bit harder when they practice. And it's funny, they get angry or they get upset, but it teaches them things to do when they play in the game. So a couple weeks ago, we were practicing, and they played 3-on-2, and guess whose kids had only two people on their team? My kids. And I was like, hey, you guys can beat them. And I really believe they can if they learn how to play together. I said, you guys can beat them. And they got beat. They got beat like 2 or 3 times that day. But it brought something out of them. Markayla started getting more and more fierce when she went to get the rebounds. She didn't let the other people get the rebounds. And my mom would tell you, when you went to some of the games, one thing Markayla would not do, once she grabbed the ball, she would not let anybody take it from her. She starts throwing elbows and stuff like that because she learned to be fierce, but it happened in practice. All right? What you do, what you practice will show up when it's game time. Right? That's why when you practice being in the Word, when you practice staying in God's presence, when somebody comes to try to say, oh, you don't really believe that stuff, guess what? That preparation will come out. It's important to be prepared. Somebody say, be prepared. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. This is the prayer in the garden. Now, this is Jesus getting ready to die. Somebody say, ready to die. Jesus is getting ready to die, and he feels like, guess what? Giving up. All right? Now, I'm going to tell you guys this. The strongest believer in Christ is going to always have times where they feel like giving up. But your feelings do not dictate what you do. Okay? My dad would tell you plenty of times when we first started the ministry, he was like, I don't know about this. God, I need a sign, right? Or we about to close down, right? Now, you know, it was interesting. Even when I hear my dad say stuff like that, I'm like, what are you saying, man? Ain't no giving up, right? But that's a true feeling. And sometimes you'll be in church and things are not going the way you go, but guess what? Ask God for a sign. Ask God, Lord, please show me what I'm doing so that I can be refueled again, so I can be revived again. Amen? We got to get to that place where we are revived. It says this. It says, then Jesus came to the place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took him, Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Somebody say distressed. Now, this is human feelings that Jesus is having. Then he said to them in verse 38, my soul is exceedingly, somebody say exceedingly, sorrowful even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. There's going to be times in our relationship with God. There's going to be times as we are living this life where we feel the same way, where we say, God, is there another way that this thing can happen? Is there another way that this thing can happen? But sometimes we stop there. And we don't say, God, nevertheless, your will be done. We just keep on complaining. And guess what? Complaining. What does complaining ever do? Not too much. Right? It doesn't do a lot. You keep on complaining about what you're going through instead of saying, God, let your will be done. Many times, God's will grow you up. Your plans will slow you up, right? And it's funny because many of us have plans. We have vast plans. I would love to have this happen. I would love to have this. We want this to look like this. We want to look in shape. But if you ain't working out, guess what? It just doesn't happen. But those are your plans. The master plan is, or the plan to get in shape, is to eat right, right? To work out consistently. Spiritually, the plan is to obey God's word. That's the master plan. Continue in prayer. Amen? Continue to seek God, even when it doesn't look like God is there. I'm going to tell you guys this. Those are the places where, when I'm just going to say this, in my own life, when it felt like God was not there, that's when you realize and you look back after you just continue to go through it, that God really was making things happen. It was like God was setting it up, right? See, check it out. Some of us, we want to see everything that God does, but guess what? You're not going to see everything he does. I shared the story before about me dealing with financial hardship when I first stepped out to do the music thing. And we almost lost the condo, and it was very tough. But I just kept telling the people, they would call, hey, when you going to get the money? And I say, I don't know, but God's going to make it happen. Right? And that's all I had from God. God said, trust me, son. And it was a very difficult time. Guess what? My mom would be like, why you always got an attitude when you don't have no money? My mom used to say that, right? And I was like, dang, I got to fix that, right? So guess what? I stopped. My mom don't know when I got money or not no more, because I'm not going to have an attitude about money. Why? Because what that really was showing was I was fearful, and there was a lack of trust because I was frustrated. But guess what? Going through those times taught me to trust God and know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine. Amen. But it took the hard times to get me to understand that. It takes going through something for your faith to be strengthened. Right? We all want to, we raise our hand. We say, God, I want more faith. I want more faith. But guess what? Faith is trusting God when you don't think it's going to really happen. Let's break it down. Abraham, right? God told him, we're doing this in the Bible study, so Abraham is really fresh in our minds right now. God told him he is going to be the father of many nations. It took 25, somebody say 25. It took 25 years before he had the son that God promised. But he still trusted God within those 25 years, right? Now, he tried to do things on his own. That's why he had Ishmael, right? His wife was like, look, this ain't working, Abraham. If you want to be the father of many nations, you might have to go through Hagar to get it done, right? But Abraham still trusted God. And the Bible says it was accounted to him righteousness because he trusted God. He had faith even when he didn't see it. So I'm telling you, you must have faith even when it doesn't look like it's going to be good. Know that God is for you if you are walking in what God wants you to walk in. Guess what? God loves us so much that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means his grace is extended, but you have to accept his grace. You have to accept it and say, God, I'm willing to walk in what you want me to walk in. Even if everybody around me doesn't get it, I'm still going to walk in this. I got another story. I don't know if I got an Uber story today, but I got a story. I interviewed two people on the radio show. Their name is Amy and Barnabas. They're actually Amy T and Barnabas. They are actually from here. And in this particular interview, we actually talked about a man that was imprisoned. He was a pastor that had been imprisoned in another country, and they were not letting him go. He had been in jail for 1,000 days. Somebody say 1,000 days. For what? Preaching the gospel. Okay? So we began to pray. When I heard about it, I prayed on the show, and I went, and there was petitions to sign to just let the president know, hey, let's get this guy out of here. Right? And we just kept praying and just believing God. And finally, somebody say finally, he was set free. He was able to come back home to his wife and his children. But it took time. You guys understand that? It took time. And I don't know what he was going through within those 1,000 days, but I guarantee there were some days he was like, God, what's going on? But I'm still going to trust you. Just like Joseph, another person that we've been studying, right? Joseph was thrown into prison doing the work of God while he was in prison, and the people forgot about him. The same people that he helped out, and guess what? Sometimes, hey, this is a word for some of us that help people. The same people that Joseph helped, they didn't remember what Joseph did to help him get out until another crisis came up. And guess what? There's going to be people like that in your life, but you have to dig deeper and trust that God is able to keep you as you go through life. Amen? So Jesus said in verse 38, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Now, it's interesting because Jesus calls prayer, sometimes he calls it watching, right? And I've never talked about this, and I'm not going to talk about it a lot, but it says watch and pray. Guys, catch that? Watch and pray. What are we watching? We're watching God move, right? We're watching what God is getting ready to do. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. It says the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When we want to dig deeper, we have to continue to watch and pray. And as the church says, watch, pray, and what, Mom? Live holy, right? Watch, pray, and live holy. Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Many times, when we are fatigued, it's your flesh that is fatigued. But your spirit needs to fuel you. That means it's important to fuel your spirit, man. How do we fuel it? Once again, staying in God's word, reading the word of God, being amongst people of God. How many have ever been encouraged by being around another Christian? Another believer, you heard their testimony and you're like, "Oh, if God could do that, I know he could do something like that in my life." Right? Some people get hung up on, "Why didn't God do that in my life?" Guess what? If God did it, he could do it again. Amen? And not only God is not limited to do it just the same way he did it for them, but he is able to do it out. He'll blow your mind the way he does things. Right? But you got to trust God. You got to dig deeper. You got to not have an envious spirit, which is somebody that sees somebody with a car over here or a car over there, right? And you see them and you're like, "Man, how come they got a car? How come they got those new shoes? How come they got that new house?" That's not the spirit of God. You should rejoice with them. "Man, you about to close on the house? Come on, Lord. Thank you, Jesus." Why? Because that's your brother and that's your sister. Be encouraged by what God does in other people's lives. Amen? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Now, let's see what happens with the disciples. And it says, and again, the second time, Jesus, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." All right, so he changed his prayer a little bit, but it's still saying the same thing. If this is the only way, then okay, that's the way we're going to do it. How many of us pray to God like that? "God, if this is the way that it's supposed to happen, God, if this is the way that this ministry is supposed to go, then we're cool with it. We're going to accept what you have for me." Because I've heard some people say, "What you have for me is for me," right? God is not going to give you the same anointing that somebody else has. When we talked about Elijah and Elisha, it says Elisha received a double portion. Now, guess what? Elisha could have just did everything that Elijah did, but God had another anointing for his life. God had a different purpose for him. All right, verse 43 says, and he came and found them asleep again. Somebody say asleep again. For their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said, are you still sleeping? Rest. Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Somebody say rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Now, as you see what happened, this, because the disciples in this time did not pray, first Peter cut somebody's ear off, right? Because they tried to take Jesus. Now he's doing the right thing in his mind. This is the Messiah. You ain't touching the Messiah, right? And you know, I have never had a sword. I've never cut somebody, but I can see why he did that. But Jesus told him, hey man, calm down, bro. Like, if I really wanted it to go down right now, I can call 2,000 angels down here and get this thing jumping. Not 2,000 angels, 2,000 legions of angels, which means 2,000 times 2,000, right? He said, I can do that. But guess what? Because they didn't watch and pray, they entered into temptation and they all denied Jesus. They denied God because they didn't watch and pray. Guess what? If we are not digging deeper and still watching and praying, sometimes we deny God. And it might not be with words, but what begins to happen is we deny him with our actions, with the way that we live our life. But guess what? The Bible says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who is praying on your behalf. Right? So when we make those mistakes, he is still gracious to bring you back. He doesn't say, oh, you made this mistake. Forget that person. Forget you. Forget her. That's not Jesus's mindset. He's like, come on back. I'm going to give you another chance. Right? He wants you to dig deeper. Guess what? You might have messed up before, but dig deeper. Continue to walk in what God has called you to do. You might be running this thing well. You might, but guess what? God still wants you to dig deeper. See, Christianity is not a cruise control religion where you just get into that sweet spot and, all right, I'm cool. God still wants you to dig deeper. Because the more you spend time with him, the Bible talks about the secrets that he will reveal to you. Amen? And we all want to know all about God. We want to know more about God, but you have to dig deeper. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for another time, dear God, that we can read your word, listen to your word, and your word can strengthen us, oh God. I pray, dear God, that today, dear God, that we dig deep, deep in our faith, oh God. Dig deep in our prayer closets. Dig deep in your word. So, dear God, that we can walk according to what you want us to walk and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, oh God. That we walk in the spirit, oh God. Strengthen us, oh God. Those that hear this today, dear God, maybe they are down, dear God, and they need to be encouraged. They need to be strengthened. I pray to God that your word would go forth and strengthen them even now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.